Strange, isn't it? How before you own a boat, the thing you want most in life is a boat. Then, the moment you own a boat, you find the thing you want most in life is a shed to store your boat in and all its bits. Me, I'm luckier than most. I don't want to fill you with unnecessary envy, for although I'm pretty sure my 18-foot sailfish is smaller than your boat, I'm also pretty certain that my boat shed is bigger than yours. It's 60 foot by 20 foot, steeped in local history and lore, and issues straight onto a slipway into the River Blackwater. Not only that, when I took it over, it even had a boat in it. And that was the problem. In the cool, dusty gloom at the back, there slumbered a wonderful romantic relic, a 1934 Deben four-tonner that had been there since time immemorial. Extensive investigations revealed that it had languished there for some time between years, ages, and forever, or thereabouts. It's the way of the waterfront. For vagueness and memory loss, along with a superstition about receiving payment by cheques, is a long-standing local tradition among the professional riverside community in Morden. Nevertheless, Coral 2, as the boat was called, had an owner, and I was relieved to find just the one, because quite often old boats in Morden have a rather complex ownership structure, not so much fractional ownership, but factional, or even fictional, unless of course the boat owes rent or berthing fees, in which case no one owns it at all. Coral 2's owner was the retiring shipwright who was giving up the shed I was taking on. At a stroke, it appeared I could become a man of substance, perhaps even of standing in the local community, with a shed complete with its own mummified classic boat. I was sorely tempted, as the cool, dark conditions had conserved her wonderfully in suspended animation, as if preserved in aspic. Her original pitch pine planks were all sound. Negotiations over the boat started tentatively. As I first mentioned, I wasn't really interested, and the shipwright countered by saying he'd suddenly formed a deep sentimental attachment to the boat and wasn't really interested in selling it. In the end, we decided out of the kindness of our hearts to do one another a big favour, and a sum was decided on that we both agreed was daylight robbery. We were just about to shake on it when I took one more look at the boat at the back of the shed, then turned round to look at the doors at the front. I presumed, as the boat had got into the shed, it could also be got out. But the aperture didn't look big enough. Sure enough, when I measured the boat and the clearance, I realised there was a minor sticking point. A major one, in fact. For the only way to get the boat out was to cut the cabin top off and saw the boat down the middle. Negotiations stalled. Well, I made inquiries, and I learned that at some time in the past, shortly after Coral 2 had been interred, the boat shed had been divided in two down the middle with a breeze block wall. The only trouble was that the doors that were large enough to extract the boat were now on the other side of the wall. No one I asked knew how this happened, but they were certain it was someone else's fault. It's the way of the waterfront. Much as the idea of owning my own boat museum appealed, the whole idea of the shed, in the first place, was to store my sailfish and all her bits over the winter, while I worked industriously buffing, improving and fettling her, and producing definitive and authoritative how-not-to articles for PBO. Then the sticking point became unstuck, when the landlord mysteriously agreed to enlarge the doors. I spent weeks removing years of sawdust as deep as a snowdrift halfway up Everest to reveal a fine little boat, along with a mast and all manner of fittings. It was really quite magical, but I decided to sell the boat and found a retired army major who took her on and mobilised an army of shipwrights, who in no time put all the sawdust back, installed a kettle and drank tea. In the meantime, friends also discovered I had a shed and started putting things in it. Just for a week or two, they all said. And now, every time I open the shed door, it's a revelation. As well as assorted dinghies, tenders, fenders, sails and masts, a corrobee and another small wooden yacht have appeared materialised, and most recently a motorbike. Always, though, there's a coven-like circle of check-shirted tea drinkers who stop talking the moment I appear. All of which means there's no space for my sailfish, which has to overwinter on the hard. Now I'm just wondering what would happen if somehow the doors mysteriously became smaller than the objects in the shed. Stranger things have happened in Malden.